Kim Wilde and Pop Don't Stop, and Roxette and Church of Your Heart to start the hour, the Full English Breakfast Show. President Biden's German Shepherd Dogs, Champ and Major, have had to leave the White House with their tails between their legs after an alleged biting incident. Major is reported to be in the doghouse after biting a security guard. Both he and the older Champ have now been sent back to the Biden family home in Wilmington, Delaware, to reflect on their behaviour. According to CNN, two sources confirm Major was involved in a biting incident with a member of White House security. The injuries incurred by the victims remain unknown, but the incident was reported to have been considered serious enough for both Major and Champ to be asked to leave. A Major, who's a three-year-old rescue dog, has earned something of a reputation during his short stay in Washington, D.C. for agitated behaviour, jumping, barking and charging at staff and security. Unfortunately for the older dog, Champ, thought to be about 13, it seems he's been given a bad name by association. A Major was behind President Biden's broken foot last November, which involved the dog slipping on a rug and Mr. Biden subsequently tripping on it. When both dogs moved into the White House shortly after the inauguration, Jill Biden said the pets were permitted everywhere except on the furniture. But there had been a breach of that protocol, with Major caught having a nap on the couch. One source at CNN said the dogs have been known to stay in Delaware with minders when the First Lady's away. President Biden is currently on the west coast of America visiting military bases. Oh dear.
Yes.
Naughty.
Very naughty.
Sounds a bit like Lucky.
No, I was going to say, no comment. No, Lucky wouldn't do that.
She doesn't bite anyone?
No, she doesn't bite.
Really?
No. Yeah. But she can't. She's constantly got a stick in her mouth. She walks around with this stick that she just will not let go of, so not able to bite anyone. No.
Does she nap off on the couch, though?
Does she nap on the... Yeah, she sleeps a lot, actually.
Does she?
Yes.
It's a dog's life.
Certainly is.
Talking of which...
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Now, I just realised I always start this feature by saying it's Woofer of the Week time and here's Dawn Howard. So I'm not going to say that this week. I'm going to say Dawn Howard is here and it's Woofer of the Week. Hello.
Perfect.
Was it? I think I made a bit of a mistake. Right. And I always say, what have we got this week? And I'm not changing that.
Okay.
Go on then.
Are we ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. What's keeping you?
Am I meant to just start then?
Just start, yes.
Okay. Good morning, Rob.
You don't have to say that.
Okay. So I'm just starting with a puppy.
Yes.
Okie doke. Right, take two.
Is this going to take long?
No, it won't. I know you've got a train to catch. We have another puppy this morning, and her name is Candy. She's a German Shepherd Belgian Malinois cross, and that means she's a very intelligent working dog who likes to learn. She's just 4 months old, so she needs a family to start her education and meet her needs for the next 10 to 12 years. She'll need daily exercise, of course, and someone home to show her the ropes, and to socialise her properly so she can become a well-balanced adult dog. A garden is a must. She loves affection. She's microchipped and vaccinated. And ideally, we're looking for someone who really loves these breeds. She's currently at the shelter in Antibes. That's Jean Duflo, the one by Decathlon. And they are open from 2 to 4:30 every day. They ask that you call ahead to make an appointment on 0493 331414, and you can also email contact@refugeduflo.fr.
Candy says,
what are you singing?
Candy Says by the Velvet Underground.
Ah, but
have Candy by Iggy Pop.
I had three songs in my head and I think it says a lot about my music collection.
Okay.
Do you want to hear?
Yeah, tell me, go on.
One is the Jesus and Mary Chain.
Ooh. You're a bit of a goth then, are you?
In my past. The other one is Robbie Williams.
Yeah.
And lastly, probably the one that will surprise you the most, Sammy Davis Jr.
The Candyman.
Exactly.
That one came into my head as well.
You've got lots to choose from with a lovely name like Candy.
I shall make a decision imminently.
Marvellous.
Thank you, Dawn.
My absolute pleasure.
Speak to you next week.
Bye.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woofiera Radio.
Well done. Today's pop quiz. On this day in 2005, a survey carried out in the UK revealed that Angels by Robbie Williams was the song Britons would most like played at their funeral.
How depressing.
Which Frank Sinatra song came second?
My Way.
Yeah, and for an extra point, can you guess which song came third?
Something sort of silly.
Well done.
I've heard this before, but I can't remember. Go on.
Monty Python.
Always look on the bright side of life.
I'll give you half a point for
my friend Paul had Richard Harris MacArthur Park played at his funeral. 7.5 minutes.
I'd like Queen, Don't Stop Me Now, just in case. Take note.
Really?
Question number two. It's this American singer's birthday today. Born on this day in 1954, she had a UK number one single in 1976 with I Love to Love, But My
Tina Charles.
Baby Loves to Dance.
My
correct.
Mate got a lift from her from Caterham's Croydon.
Really?
Once. Yeah, got picked up by Tina Charles.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
From where to where?
Caterham to Croydon.
Oh, okay. I only hitchhiked once in Tottenham, never did it again. I did get home. And finally, another birthday today is Patrick Kane from Hue and Cry. In 1989, who were Hue and Cry looking for?
Linda.
Yes. And do you know what? This song bears a resemblance to a song you played in the last hour, but I can't remember which song you played, so...
Are you getting as bad as me?
I thought it was that, but it wasn't.
Really?
Yes.
OK, I'll have to rack my brains.
Yes.
Oh, it's Algero.
Thank you.
Fairly similar, yeah.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Pots of money, nowhere to spend it. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
That's a nice introduction. Very well, thank you.
Good, good. So where are you going to spend your money when you can finally go out and do it?
I'm not sure I will. Mrs. Potts is trying to lead some sort of consumer-led recovery, it has to be said, all by herself. So I'll be trying to rein in those ideas. I'm not that excited about shops and, so, you know, I don't really go to sort of many shops, it has to be said. The odd restaurant here and there, I wouldn't mind a nice curry out would be quite pleasant. I look forward to doing that maybe, but I don't think anything too dramatic. Travel is the thing for me. I'd love to get on a plane. I'd love to feel some heat and enjoy that. That for me would be the biggest change.
Just pleased to see you doing your bit for the global warming, you know, getting on planes.
Well, I've completely kept it down. Haven't been anywhere for a whole year.
Enforced.
Well, it doesn't matter, enforced or not, it's the reality.
Anyway, you know, you can change your mind about that, because Uncle Barclay, now he knows about Zoom, he's not going to let you go anywhere. You're going to be stuck in that house forever.
This may be very true. I don't think it'll be like that, to be honest with you. I think there'll be some sort of hybrid movement going forward that we'll see, I guess, some meetings done over Zoom, some or Microsoft Teams or the other array of platforms that we all use these days. Some will be back in person, I'm pretty sure of that. And the difficulty will come, of course, if one person is or two people are at home and the other eight people are in the office doing a meeting, then it doesn't seem to work the same way. If you're all on the same platform, all dealing with it, I think it works. When you start to see it, some in person, some not in person, I don't know if it works as well then.
So let me get this right. I mean, if the call came to attend a meeting in, let's say, Frankfurt, you'd do it on Zoom. But if it was the Bahamas, then you'd be off on a first-class ticket to a few dark and stormies.
No, well, I'd be monitoring the areas where the vaccination programmes have been enforced properly. Seychelles have got very good numbers. UAE have got very good numbers. Gibraltar have good numbers, but maybe that could be someone else. You know, there's lots of areas that are leading the way, and I will focus on those.
Okay, let's have a look at the market, shall we? Good day yesterday.
Yeah, investors returned to risk-on mode yesterday. Money flowed as buyers took advantage of recent weakness to buy the dips. Tech shares bounced back. Nasdaq, very strong, actually. It was up 3.7% yesterday after recovering after falling into technical correction. Means it's down 10% from its recent peak. We also saw Treasuries, gold and Bitcoin rally. Dollar weakened. We did see some weakness in some of these cyclical winners, mining, banking, auto sectors in Europe under a little bit of pressure yesterday. European equities closed at their highest level in a year. Stock 600 was up 0.8%. Similar picture on Wall Street. S&P 500 rose 1.4%. Opening calls on the European bourses looking a little bit mixed, as we said this morning. We're currently calling the FTSE down 32 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 28 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 15 points.
Yeah, most of the reason for the Nasdaq's gains yesterday was a slight drop in 10-year treasuries, but so the Nasdaq hasn't added as much as it lost in the last few sessions, has it?
No, it's still down compared to the recent highs. No surprise there, of course. And the question is, where do we go from here as economies start to reopen? What does that mean in terms of inflation? What does that mean in terms of bond yields? And as bond yields rise, they create greater competition for equity markets. And then investors start to look at the sectors perhaps that have got the most elevated valuations. Perhaps no surprise, they're the technology sectors, and start to reconsider what that means. But I think you've got to focus on individual business models as opposed to sectors, and continue to look for opportunities in that. So for us, I think active investment is going to be far more important component of performance over the course of the next couple of years than we've seen recently.
Talking about bonds, Christine Lagarde's going to have a word.
Yeah, the European Central Bank ramped up the pace of its emergency bond buying programme last week after policymakers issued repeated warnings that a rise in yields would derail the region's economic recovery. Gross purchases totaled 18.2 billion euros in the week ending March the 5th, compared to 16.9 billion the week earlier. The reopening of economies have been talking about the massive fiscal stimulus in the United States has set off its global bond sell-off in recent weeks. Officials in Europe are concerned that the tightening of financial conditions will begin to infringe upon the recovery. European Central Bank expected to downgrade its growth forecast at tomorrow's meeting, putting more pressure on policymakers to provide support. But increasingly, actually, that burden sits, I think, on the fiscal side rather than the monetary side.
OK, have you been having a few takeaways during lockdown?
I haven't, to be honest with you, and I've never used Just Eat, I've never used Deliveroo, I've never used any of them, but they're all doing very well. Just Eat, the Anglo-Dutch food delivery firm, just delivering results. It's still reporting a loss, and in fact a loss that's widened during the course of last year to 151 million euros. They said this is on the back of acquisitions and integration costs, but they expect an acceleration of order growth during the course of this year. Just Eat's revenue surged 54% last year, came in at 2.4 billion euros. UK orders, my friends around the country have certainly been buying. UK orders up 88%. And forecast they will increase market share during the course of this year. Just Eat in the process of acquiring US peer Grubhub, so very much becoming a global player. Lots of consolidation taking place in terms of this sector. They said they would continue to invest to drive growth and market share gains. As we were talking about earlier in the week with Deliveroo, some question marks over the future, of course. Will people continue to order food at home when lockdown measures are reduced or even gone? And, of course, competition, as I said, getting a little bit tougher.
Grubhub. God, it's tacky.
Do you like the idea of that?
It's like StubHub, isn't it?
What, StubHub tickets?
Yeah, Grubhub. Okay. Grubhub. I mean, people still like a takeaway, though. Well, you know... No?
Yeah, I suppose so. Will they go back to more traditional ways of ordering it directly with the people? I don't know. The platforms are in place. And again, what makes you choose between one or the other, I guess, is the relationship that they have with their food partners, but also the type of service that you're getting from these different ones, usability of the platform. I don't really know how they compare with each other.
I can't wait to go out for a meal. I really, really miss it.
It'd be nice, eh? Oh, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, definitely curry.
Curry, with you. I fancy it because you can't do curry at home the same.
Not exactly the same. You can get quite close to it, but unless you've got all the ingredients, it's a
bit.
But
you can't do naan breads.
But I've found some really good frozen naans in the Chinese supermarket. Yeah, they're really good, actually.
The Chinese supermarket.
Yeah.
Do you not have any pride in some of the things you do or the words that you say?
No, they're really good.
Is wrong with you?
When you buy those naans in a packet from Waitrose or something, they don't taste anything like the ones do in restaurants. But these ones, the frozen ones, because they're actually cooked by an Indian chef and then frozen, they actually come out.
When by an Indian chef?
Well, I don't know, but... Anyway.
Wow, this is wonderful, isn't it?
You trust me on that, because they do actually...
I don't know if I do. I think you need a tandoor, basically. You need an oven, oven in order to get the naan bread.
If they're cooked
I'm not sure buying these naan breads that are frozen that are sold in a Chinese, did you say a Chinese supermarket?
It's an Asian supermarket.
An Asian, okay, yeah. Right.
But they were okay. Cooked and prepared in the traditional
they
way.
Were really,
and it's a bit like, you know, it's like Findus, you know, frozen cod, isn't it? You know, they take it straight out of the sea and bang it in the freezer, yeah. And it's almost as good as catching it. Like garden peas, you know.
I'm with you. I'm sold. I'm ready for it.
Anyway, Justy won't deliver to you.
Why not?
They said that you don't fit their customer profile. You need all you can eat.
I was going to say, I'm right in their arc when it comes to their product. Mrs. Potts bans it rather than the company.
Right, and just to end, Chevron and other energy firms say they're going to try and increase their output, but at the same time limit their carbon emissions. How's that going to work then?
Yeah, it's a bit of a trick, isn't it? Further evidence that companies are at least trying to make the transition. These energy giants are trying to woo investors with a plan to reduce spending to double the target saving from recent acquisitions, but also lower its environmental impact. Falling energy demand, of course, due to the pandemic lockdown, sent an oil industry into somewhat of a tailspin during the course of last year. No surprise that we've seen big losses coming through from the sector. Chevron reported a $5.5 billion loss, said it expects to double its return on capital employed, generate free cash flow growth of more than 10%, and budget just $14 billion a year in capital expenditure through 2025. So big synergies predicted coming through from the company in terms of the acquisition. Expect a 10% reduction in its operating expenses this year compared to 2019. Now targeting that 35% reduction in carbon. Not too many specific details on how they're going to achieve that one.
Now, they have been coming under pressure from investors, though, who really want these big energy firms to actually switch to sort of a more environmentally yep. friendly policies, don't they?
They really do, they really do. And all the companies are reacting to that, particularly heard from the likes of Shell and also BP coming through. And it's just a sign of how much funds is flowing through the sustainable channels. And it's going to be a key element to encouraging investors. And the reality is these companies need to try and attract investors. And that's certainly one way they'll need to do it. The one transition that they'll have to make in order to get those funds to put their money with the company.
Could we see the bottom falling out of the oil market?
Well, there's always this great debate, of course, of when peak oil demand will come through. Technology will continue to develop and continue to evolve to get us to the point where we shouldn't be reliant on fossil fuels in the future. When that exactly comes in the next couple of decades is somewhat debatable, but it certainly will be the case. And that's why oil companies need to be reacting to those conditions now and putting a strategy in place to mean that they will have a business model to work on in the future.
Well, well, well.
We'll have to see.
Foreign exchanges, you missed that one, didn't you?
Well, it was good.
That wasn't as pathetic.
I was thinking about your naan breads from the frozen naan breads.
You got cheese naan or garlic and coriander?
No, Peshwari. Peshwari. That's the naan of kings.
Not keema naan?
No, Peshwari. That's the big one. Pound against dollar, 138.5 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 118.5. You can get €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
My nana was used to like the plain ones.
No. Onion bargees?
Yeah, she was a plain
Can't
naan.
Do those at home. Oh, dear. Plain naan. Oh, dear, that's so... Is that what this whole subject has been about, you delivering those jokes? Terrible.
Pretty much. Right, like talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang pots and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
Ahead of today's Defence Council meeting, which is being held at the Élysée Palace to take stock of the health situation, reports say that the French government is not considering restricting or easing the measures currently in place in the fight against COVID. Today's meeting is expected to give an update on the situation in the 23 departments of France, which are placed under reinforced surveillance due to COVID. Apart from Dunkirk, where the weekend lockdown has been extended for the next three weekends, the government does not envisage any new restrictions. The head of state is, however, particularly concerned with the situation in the Île-de-France, where the incidence rate and the positivity rate are being closely monitored. And following the cancellation of 40% of regular surgical procedures in hospitals in the Île-de-France region, 400 beds were made available for patients with COVID. Meanwhile, however, the president of the League Against Cancer, Axel Kahn, has warned that due to hospitals cancelling regular surgical or medical procedures, thousands of cancer patients will die in the next 5 to 6 years. Kahn went on to say that people suffering from more serious diseases, which date from before COVID, have seen their priority drop. And as far as the latest figures are concerned, the number of COVID patients admitted to intensive care continues to increase in France. According to hospital data published on Tuesday, there are 3,918 patients in intensive care units across France, including 421 admitted in the last 24 hours. This number had reached below 2,600 at the beginning of January and is now at the same level as at the end of November, but is still far from figures reported during the first wave last spring, which showed 7,000 intensive care admissions in early April. France's government has said general practitioners will be able to resume placing orders for the AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine following an outcry over plans to make the jab solely available to pharmacists. French Health Minister Olivier Véran assured doctors that, contrary to a note issued by top health officials at the weekend, the government was not going to indefinitely suspend their capacity for delivering the AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine. In other national news, according to French media, the 14-year-old girl found drowned in the Seine in Argenteuil on Monday had been the victim of school bullying for several weeks, and in particular harassment on social media. One of the two teens implicated in her death is believed to have hacked the girl's Snapchat account to expose intimate content, photos as well as videos. The victim's mother had made a report last month for harassment to the school head. The two suspects, a 15-year-old teenager and his girlfriend of the same age, are still in police custody. France's National Assembly has taken action following death threats against MPs. The threats were sent to 50 elected officials from different parties, including local MP Eric Ciotti. Accompanied by photos, the threats were sent by email. At this stage, the threats remain unclaimed and without a clear reason. In local news, 130 volunteers from 16 associations have exposed the worrying number of homeless sleeping rough in Nice. An initiative launched by the Secours Populaire and Solidarité 06 gave alarming results for France's fifth largest city, with 1,324 homeless, 324 are sleeping rough, and 1,000 are in emergency accommodation. 6% are between 18 and 24 years old, and 33% are 55 years old and over. The Secretary General of the Secours Populaire for the region, Jean Stelitano, has been sounding the alarm for months on the explosion of poverty in Nice and in the department, saying that it's very worrying that half of the homeless have been on the street for less than a year, which means the sharp increase in poverty is clearly linked to the COVID health crisis. The train service between Antibes and Cannes has been interrupted following an electrical fault near Cannes on Tuesday evening. Traffic resumed shortly after 7:30 p.m, but several delays were expected into the evening as technicians intervened. Finally, the 66th Monaco Bal de la Rose has been postponed for a second time due to the COVID pandemic. The news was officially announced on Tuesday in a press release from the Monte Carlo Society de Bains de Mer, which coordinates the organisation of this annual evening, launching the Monégasque social season. Planned to be held in March, the organisers have postponed the event, opting for March the 19th, 2022.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
God, that's a shame, because you just bought your ball gown for that.
I certainly had.
Football, there were two Champions League round of 16 ties last night. Borussia Dortmund and Seville drew 2-2 on the night. The German side took the tie 5-4 on aggregate. Porto also through to the last eight, despite losing 3-2 away Juventus. But a late goal from the Portuguese side tied the aggregate score at 4-4, and they qualify on the away goals rule. Here's more football news from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Al Ross at BBC Sport, and Jurgen Klopp has ruled himself out of replacing Jogi Löw as coach of Germany. Löw has announced he'll leave the role at the end of the European Championships. Klopp says, I have 3 years left at Liverpool. You sign a contract and you stick to it. However, Klopp has praised his fellow German for the job he's done, having led the side to the 2014 World Cup.
Jogi Löw did an incredible job for so many years. I think it's the longest servant ever we had in Germany, but for sure one of the most successful. I understand he wants to have this highlight, what he can in his tournament, and then somebody else will do the job, I'm pretty sure, with the amount of really good German managers in the moment, that the German FA will find a good solution.
Klopp there speaking in the build-up to their Champions League game against RB Leipzig at Anfield. They won 2-0 in the first leg in Germany, but they have lost six in a row at home. Here's midfielder Gini Wijnaldum.
Of course, the Champions League can rescue this season, but I think a lot of people only say it's rescued if you win the Champions League, and everyone knows how difficult it is. You know, in the beginning of the season, we already wanted to play for everything what we could win, and the Champions League was one of them, and I don't think that changed.
Also on Wednesday, Manchester City have a fully fit squad for their Premier League game against Southampton. Bernardo Silva, Phil Foden, Fernandinho and Sergio Aguero among the players hoping for a recall. And Nigeria coach Gernot Rohr has selected six England-based players, including Leicester City's Wilfred Ndidi and Kelechi Iheanacho, and Alex Iwobi of Everton for their latest round of Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers. That's despite concerns over their availability due to UK quarantine rules. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Think he'll stay at Liverpool?
Of course he will. He said 3 years, he signs a contract, he sticks to it.
Because if it was Boris Johnson who said, I'm not going to take the Germany job, then you know he would be taking it.
No, not Klopp.
You sure?
Yes.
He might not be left
with
the choice.
100%.
Well, we'll see, we'll see. But he would be a good fit for the German national side, obviously. But
what would we do?
Get somebody else in. Stephen Gerrard.
Stephen Gerrard.
I don't think Gerrard's ready for it yet. Are you confident tonight or not? Not really.
No, not really.
We have got,
but yes, I am.
2-0 advantage, though.
Come on, they've got to turn things around.
Fingers
can't
crossed.
Go on like this.
The other ties between Paris Saint-Germain and Barcelona. Paris Saint-Germain leading 4-1 after the first leg. Cricket, the former England, Surrey and Warwickshire bowler Joey Benjamins died at the age of 60. Benjamin took 387 first-class wickets in an 11-year career, but only played once for England, where he took 4 for 44 in the first innings against South Africa at the Oval in 1994. He also plays 2 one-day internationals. His death came following a reported heart attack. Rugby Union Wales have recalled scrum half Gareth Davis and lock Corey Hill for Saturday's Six Nations trip to Italy. Wales are still on course for the Grand Slam and will only have France to beat in their final match, provided they come through in Rome. Davis comes in for the injured Kieran Hardy, while Hill is given the nod following his try-scoring substitute appearance against England. Adam Beard is being rested and drops out of the squads. Tennis. Roger Federer's first game on his return to the ATP Tour will be against Dan Evans of Great Britain. Evans beat Jeremy Chardy of France in the first round of the Qatar Open to set up a second-round clash with the 39-year-old. The pair have been practising together in recent weeks, and Evans says he thinks Federer looks pretty good. The winner of this evening's match will progress to the last eight. And in golf, Danny Willetts of England will miss the Players' Championship at Sawgrass after testing positive for coronavirus. The former Masters champion will be replaced in the field by Cramer Hickok of the United States, who's ranked 308th in the world. The Players' Championship, which is billed as the fifth major, starts tomorrow.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles. Offshore the Amaro Sea in the VAR, the general situation is an anticyclone, 1,030 millibars, building over the Azores. Our winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 3 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 3 to 5, southwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. Give your yacht a new lease of life with an upgrade, repair or refit from our expert team. ReFitMyYacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Clear skies today with a moderate southwesterly winds, top temperature 15 or 16 degrees, overnight lows 6 to 8 degrees with clear skies, Thursday and Friday mainly fine, highs of 16 to 18 degrees. And finally,
you want to lose weight? It's easy, just ask your partner to go on a diet. A new study claims that simply living with someone who is following a strict eating plan can help you drop the pounds. If one family member is on a diet, the people they live with will lose weight too. Spanish researchers followed 148 family members of people who had decided to strictly follow the Mediterranean diet. Diet participants were enrolled in a study and received direct consultations, as well as being encouraged to exercise, but their family members did not. Despite this, the relatives, spouses, children, parents or siblings lost an average of 1.25 kilos after 1 year and 4 kilos after 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, that's good news.
Got to stop buying chocolate.
Oh, don't. I was thinking that the other day. I've got into the habit of finishing a meal and having, thinking, oh, I'll have a little chocolate treat, and I get through a packet of M&Ms.
Well, a whole packet in one go? Now, that is pretty
bad. It's bad, isn't it?
I must say, yeah. No, I mean, I just... Because if I don't have it in the house, I don't eat it, and I don't miss it.
Yeah,
but
no,
if it's there, you have to eat it. I've got a thing about those round Milka biscuits at the moment, the chocolate ones.
Well, what are they? I saw the... What are they like?
They're pretty good.
Okay.
They're almost as good as the original Kit Kat. Not quite as...
Ooh,
almost
that
as good.
Close.
And you can bite the chocolate around the edges first.
No, you can't do that.
You can.
No, that's so annoying. That's so irritating.
Well, you know, I won't eat one in front of you then.